go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV review podcast, where we break down the latest and possibly not so greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris. Or did we change? Did we change my name last time?
Or am I thinking? I don't know. We kept calling you Poe because you kept having lapse memories. Short-term memory loss on their names.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I guess the name should stick. Huh?
Yeah, they don't stick, so you know, yeah, we were calling you Poe for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny. So what's going on, brother?
Not much. Just watch some football. Hey, I actually, last week was our older brother's birthday, and our sister-in-law rented out a theater and played Empire Strikes Back, so we did that last week.
Really?
Yeah, for like $100, rented out a theater. There was like 20 of us there in like a probably 50-seat auditorium and watched Empire Strikes Back on the big screen for its 40th anniversary and our brother's old birthday. I don't know how old he is. I lost count.
10 years older than me.
Yeah, that's so how I know. Whatever 10 years older than you is.
Exactly. Wouldn't you like to know, audience?
Yes, they would like to know.
I'm sure they could guess. But anyways, how many seats did they fill up for that?
There was only like 15, 20 of us.
Oh, okay.
Trying to fill it. It was more of just a private party situation.
I was going to say, you'd almost just be better off just putting the DVD in and or watching on Disney Plus. I mean, save the $100 and still enjoy the show.
First of all, you got to watch it on like a 100-foot screen. Second of all, we all got to meet up at a theater. And third of all, our little 2-year-old niece was able to just run around and do whatever she wants without disturbing anybody. So,
Yeah, that's probably a good call then.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was a good way to, because it was me, it was us and then him and his family and then some of his friends and some of their family. So, yeah, there was like 15 of us, his in-laws.
Cool for Junior's wife or, sticking with Empire Strikes Back. I mean, I think I think Star Wars fans would say that that's arguably the best of all of the movies.
Yeah, and we're definitely too young to have ever seen them in theaters, so
that's
it was a good chance to see it in theaters.
But was Junior? No.
No, he's still too young to see it.
Yeah, even he was too. In theaters.
So that'll give you an idea of how old we are.
Or maybe the Star Wars movies are just getting pretty old.
I mean, Empire Strikes Back had its 40th anniversary this week, it was actually in May of this year, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, damn, 40 years.
Yep.
Time's flying. I guess Star Trek's about to get, well, no, the Star Trek's getting, what, 60? I think we're 60, 64 years.
I think it's approaching, like, 55 years.
No, because it was 66, and we're 2020. So, yeah, 64.
Yeah, because it came out mid-60s. I don't know, somewhere in there.
I don't know. I can't math today.
I don't either. But speaking of Star Trek, Discovery comes out. The third season of Discovery comes out. I think it's next week.
Yeah, I'm not too excited for it. I saw the trailer, but
I didn't really like where it left at season two, and then seeing the trailers for season three, I'm definitely not as excited as I was going from season one to season two.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to what, the 31st century, or is it the?
It's like 900 years from whenever they were.
Well, they were 23rd century, so it's going to be 32nd century.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I know that there was. I was curious about how that timeline, how they were going to do that, because Star Trek Enterprise had a lot of their storylines took place in the future and around that timeline. Yeah. So I was curious, you know, how they were going to play that off. But I think it was in 3100, not 3200. So if it's 3200, then I think that's a different story.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's one of those, we'll cover it at some point on this show. It's we're not going to cover it weekly like we are The Mandalorian Season 2. I think we're both more excited for that to come out, so that's going to take priority over Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I mean, I was every season was pretty disappointing. I think Season 2 wasn't too bad, but
Season 2 is my favorite just because I like seeing Pike. God, I can't think of that actor's name right now.
I can't either. But I mean, it was, I like what they did with Pike by adding a bit more humor to the show, because that was part of it with season one. It was very
dramatic.
Yeah, very dark, very dramatic.
It was a very suspense, thriller, drama, sci-fi.
Yeah, and it was funny because the Orville came out around the same time, and the Orville was more Star Trek than Star Trek. It was a bit more 1 hour storylines that had, you know, you started the storyline, you ended the storyline at the end of the episode. You kind of have a subplot going through the season, and it was humor. It had character development, where this was just a long movie, it felt like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and we'll cover it because I know, like I said, we'll get there some point. We'll cover Discovery and go in more in depth about it. But yeah, haven't loved much of what CBS All Access has put out with Star Trek series, and that goes for Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's a lot of rumors going on and off about Star Trek, the new Star Trek for the reboots, Star Trek 4, with Chris Pike. Was it Pike? No, Chris Pine.
No, Chris Pine.
So many Chris's, who just so happens to be a captain of the Starship Enterprise. Just a different captain. I don't know what's going on there. Well, yeah, there's, you know, supposedly they're going to start another movie. Supposedly they're not going to, because they don't want to mess up or they don't want to screw up things, make it confusing with the shows, because the shows are supposedly going to keep going. But now CBS is saying, like, they're not even sure if they want to keep the shows because they're not really doing well. So, I mean, it's...
CBS doesn't know what they want to do. They're like, no. We have this titular franchise, this tentpole franchise. Let's put out shows. And then, you know, they went Disney Star Wars and didn't plan it out, didn't execute it very well. They just threw stuff together and got it out because they knew people would consume it because it's Star Trek.
Well, I think they were a bit arrogant with, you know, the way that the MCU is handled. The MCU is handled and ran very well by Disney, and I think they figured they could just do the same with Star Trek, and or CBS could do it with Star Trek, and Disney could do the same with Star Wars, and they're finding out that it's not as easy as it seems, and Marvel's kind of the anomaly, not the rule. You know, that's kind of the bringing into football. He's kind of the MCU's kind of been the Bill Belichick of, you know, these film franchises. It really has. I mean, they consistently put out – they don't really put out bad movies. They won't put out incredible movies, but they don't put out bad movies, unlike pretty much everybody else. You could say the same for Justice League, too, in DC. So, you know, I just think that they're just too arrogant, and they needed to take the time, figure out what the fans want, not what's woke or what they think will make money. Because you're not going to bring in new audiences. You need to – get excitement with the already audiences that already exist.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, but I think that's enough for, that's enough for Discovery. We got a good rant in today. That's always a good day. So let's get into Altered Carbon.
You can do it. You can do it all night long.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
What do we have in store for Altered Carbon today, brother?
Well, today we are we're working our way through season two. We are covering episodes 4, 5, and 6 in our part. I think it's part 6 of our Altered Carbon series. So, Altered, you know, season episodes 4, 5, and 6 were kind of...
They were interesting.
Interesting, because, yeah, I couldn't remember where 3 left off. But now I remember that it ended up, it was, you know, 3 ended where Kovacs and Falconer fought their way out of the circle, preventing Kovacs from being executed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was a good thing to kind of refresh yourself on, because it was like a week or so since I saw those episodes, and I was like, wait, what happened? How are we here again?
I think about that every time that I sit down to watch the Altered Carbons, and I'm like, oh, why can't there be last week or previously on Altered Carbon? It's like, damn, because, you know, when we do these, we spend, you know, we go a week or two without watching these between episodes, and you forget a lot, especially me, since I watch them. I've only ever watched every episode like once. I think there was only a handful I've watched twice, and I do it all stoned. So, I mean, it's hard to remember this stuff.
Yeah, and it's one of those where I started pulling, before I watch the next episode, I'll pull up our show notes from that covered the last episode and just kind of read through them to remind myself what the hell's going on.
Yeah, oh, I do the same thing before every show. But I got some questions when it comes to episode 4.
Okay.
I'm a little confused on Harlan's Day. I mean, I guess it was almost like a festival. Is it supposed to be like 4th of July? Is it supposed to be what is that? Is that the planet is this when the planet was supposedly founded, or?
Well, that's when the colony was established. That's when you get a there's a brief history lesson given when Dig, who's the female AI character, she's kind of briefing herself on Harlan's Day history, or Harlan's world history. And part of it is there was a cryo ship that Harlan and a couple other mess were in charge of, where they traveled to this planet and settled it. So that's what Harlan, it's like a 4th of July mixed with Columbus Day, or no, that's probably a good way to explain it.
That's weird.
It's just they went and founded and established that colony on.
And it Harlan's was the world. It was, I don't remember the governor's name. It was her father, though. Wasn't he the one who discovered the planet? And that's why, you know, they call it Harlan's Day, name it after him.
Well, he was like to put it in terms you'll know, he was like the captain of the ship.
Oh, okay.
So he was like in charge, you know, because it was a group of, I think it was like 5 or 6 mess who were the founders, and he was the leader of those founders. So that's why the planet and the day was named after him. So, because we get a good history lesson, find out that, you know, this is taking place roughly 300 years after Falconer died, which isn't too surprising given how season 1 played out, and determining that there was a couple decades in between season 1 and season 2.
Yeah, did we figure out how many it was? It was about 30 something years, right?
Yeah, I'm going with 30, 35 years.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a while. And you know, going through these next 3 episodes, I still don't think we figured out what's happened, you know, when it comes to Poe, on why he's, you know, we don't really,
how he was put back together.
Well, 1, we don't figure out how he was put back together. 2, we don't really figure out, you know, what happened with the Lisa storyline. Lizzie? Yeah,
I know. We gotta wrap on that, how she was a synth at the end of season 1 because he casted her mind up into that sex cloud city, and then she kept that body, and their family, the Elliot family, was living happy.
But yeah, was it? Then why is he trying so hard not to forget her? I mean, if it's only been like a couple of decades.
I don't know. I don't know the attachment to her. And that's kind of what Kovacs is trying to get, because Kovacs is really pushing for him to reboot, and which will reset his memory.
Maybe that's the reason why he doesn't want to forget, because they're essential in how he was put back together.
Maybe.
And that's why it's almost like an attachment thing, like, hey, as a thank you for, you know, for saving their daughter and bringing her back, they were managed to piece me back together and salvage me, but they weren't perfect, and I don't want to do it because I don't want to forget them. you know, kind
of. Yeah, and maybe they use some of her memories, like when he had to, what do they call it? Psychotherapy? Is that what they call it? Something like that. Whatever therapy he had to do on her. Maybe they use some of her memories and use them to kind of help rebuild his, and that's why he has such an attachment.
Right.
Who knows? I don't understand it. I mean, I understand why Kovacs is pissed in this segment of episodes that we watch, because he's tired of Poe constantly dropping the ball, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, because I mean,
especially when it's life or death on the line.
Mm-hmm. Was it episode 4 when what's her name? I might be Poe. I'm gonna be Poe for the remainder of Altered Carbon, because I can't remember anybody's name. The chick from Defenders, I can't remember her name.
Trep. Think of your favorite character with from Star Trek Enterprise, and then add an E instead of an I.
I'm really surprised you remember that.
I know shit.
I'll give you that. I'm surprised.
I don't smoke that weed, so I don't lose that memory.
Yeah, the memory's there. I just can't find it. that's good.
You hid the file.
Mm-hmm. I put it on a floppy disk and I lost it back in the 90s.
And now no computer runs them, so you're shit out of luck.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, Trep.
Yeah, Trep. I don't even remember where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. Kovac ends up getting a bounty on him because everybody blamed him for the murders, and the bounty went through the roof, and she managed to find him in the hotel when they were bragging about how it's impenetrable, but she hacked her way in, and you know, Poe screwed up, and he ends up firing Poe, essentially, and hiring the AI digger that Poe ended up... where did he even get...
Digger? called like her digger.
Yeah, she is a digger, isn't she? Sort of. She's a digger in history, or that counts.
She's an archaeologist bot. I know, it was just weird. I expect you to say something like archaeologist, but not a digger, like a gold digger.
Well, I'm looking at the notes and I saw Dig 301 and I'm like, digger's
well, that's her designation, her name.
Yeah, that's why I went with Digger. You know, I go with all the nicknames. Since I can't remember any of the names, I like still Digger. Funny.
Okay.
All right, well, yeah, what was the point of that? Like, where was, maybe I'm confused. Is it almost like an internet with these AI kind of things, or they're networked together to where they can, each AI can access each other's networks at any time? And where exactly did he find these archaeologists?
Oh, yeah, that was kind of... There was a brief scene in one of the first three episodes where, I guess, you know, AIs are linked to the internet, and then, you know, they're probably hiding somewhere on the web, and then an AI goes and tracks them down. I don't remember this scene too much, and I don't think we really covered it in the last one, in our last part, just because it didn't... Not that it didn't seem significant, it was just...
There was a lot of other storylines we had to get to.
A lot of other things to cover, but it's somewhere in one of those episodes, and it's just, yeah, it seems like they're connected to some network, and you know, like, these archaeologist AIs are just hanging out. They were hanging out in a room playing darts, and that's probably just their little space of the internet where they're hiding until they can become of use again.
Well, they said that there was just nothing for them to do. They were taken offline, right? Or
yeah, because what they would do was they would have elders who... that's what they call this species that habited the planet before them. And if you catch the history that Dig is listening to in the hotel, it seems like the world, or at least Harlan's world, they stopped digging and they lost their fascination with the beings that were on that planet, the elders. So once they seized all the dig sites and stopped their research, they were just, the AIs were kind of forgotten about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they start to play more of a role in these, you know, in these three episodes. Well, maybe not the rest of them, but...
No, she does at least.
Yeah. Yeah, the digger does.
Digger
won't be the bad. Nah, we'll stick with digger.
Well, there, I mean, we learn a couple things. there's a brief scene, it's probably 2 minutes or so, where she's watching the history of Harlem's world. And as I covered earlier, it was, they were on a cryo ship, and they took, you know, this small crew of six took, you know, a ship of embryos, human embryos, to this planet. It was explained that they encountered the orbitals, which is the satellite system orbiting the planet that is the fence system, that they ended up finding a hole in the system and navigated the ship through it and were able to land it and establish the colony.
Huh.
So that's kind of the book history on it, but as we learn throughout these couple episodes, it might not actually be the truth, because you find out, you know, that they stopped researching elder artifacts and elder history, and you kind of get a sense that the founders, that the elders might not have been extinct when the founders settled and colonized the planet.
Oh, so maybe they didn't colonize, they conquered?
Yeah, and that's kind of what it seems like, because I know this is, you know, we're jumping around, but I mean, at least we're conversating about it, so whatever. But the head of the Yakuza, I actually caught his name. It's what? Tanatsana? Hold on, I'll find it. But it's Japanese. I don't know if I'll say it right. Don't you just love that?
No, I never can get names right, so I kind of got used to it, though.
Tasana?
So.
Tasana? Tanaseta? Tanaseta? Something like that. I don't know. It's Japanese. But, you know, anyways, where I was going, you know, this Tanaseta, the head of the Yakuza, he was saying that, you know, he's kind of have, like, blood on his hands, and he has things that he regrets, and even when he gets killed later in episode 5 and Kovacs pulls out a stack and puts it on VR, you can kind of see the group of them kind of gathering together in the past. And they just, there's a lot of hints that they did something when they colonized that was regretful.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you can look at our own history, not only for just, you know, this country, but our own world history, when nations try to colonize other lands, when people inhabit it, they try to make peace and they try to do their best, but it rarely goes well, and there's usually a conflict between cultures, and, you know, whichever's the dominant culture will survive. So, I mean, you see it multiple times in, hell, even in our own history in America. I mean, it was kind of that same way with Native Americans. They started out relatively peaceful, but both sides had differences and kind of created conflicts, and both were vicious and ruthless, but America came out on top.
Yep.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of. They forced the will on the natives, and while tragic, so I mean, we can't change history. It is what it is, unfortunately.
Right, but we can learn from it. And then I think that's something that they probably didn't do, and I have a feeling, I wouldn't be surprised if they did the same, given at the extent in which the protectorate's willing to go to maintain their secrets, and, you know, their willingness to kill just about anybody to, in the protection of the protectorate. It almost does seem like a despotism, or, you know, a tyrannical rule.
Yeah, it's there was a lot unraveled in these three episodes.
Yeah, I almost wish that they would go more in depth into the protectorate, because one, you know, we've only got the experience from two planets, Earth and this one. I don't remember the name of this planet.
Harlan's world.
Harlan's world. How big is this empire? How big is the protectorate? You know, what is the political structure? You know, we get no real information. You know, supposedly there's the terrorist organization on Harlan's world. Is that solely just for the planet, or is that against the, you know, the whole of the protectorate, and that there's supposedly cells everywhere? I mean, which we kind of find out that there's really no cells to begin with later on, which was an interesting plot twist. I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of confused on who the actual main antagonist is for the season.
Yeah, there's they didn't get into, I don't think they do, you know, giving the two episodes that are coming and that we're not getting a season three, I don't think they go into the protectorate's history. They went into Harlan World's history, which was kind of cool. It was nice to see this fictional planet and, you know, how they established it and everything that's going on with it. but I don't recall them getting into Protectorate history. I don't think they will in the next two episodes either. So don't look forward to that.
I feel like that's probably what they would have made the main storyline based off of how I don't know how the end of season two is because I haven't seen the last two episodes yet.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that it's gonna that they were kind of setting the storyline up to get more into it into season three and kind of bring down the whole Protectorate. You know, that's just the feeling that I felt like they should have gone if there was going to be a season three. And I'm a little disappointed that there's not, because the show is actually pretty well written and the storyline for season two has been very good. Very disappointed with the lack of nudity, though, and it's very frustrating that we're 6 out of 8 episodes through and there hasn't been one boob, and it's like it's very frustrating.
You know, it was funny, and I was doing research on Altered Carbon season two, and I know you're not going to be the only one, but a part of the appeal of season one was the nudity, and there was a lot of fans calling for, you know, they were disappointed in the lack thereof, because that's part of the genre, the cyberpunk-esque sci-fi genre, is there's a lot of nudity, dystopian, really cool futuristic, you know, stuff going on. And they were hoping to get it for season three, but now that we know we're not getting a season three, I mean, which is just surprising.
Do you think it was
given...
just the actors, or do you think it was the show?
No, I think it was just production for the show is high, and it's probably not pulling enough numbers, even though critically it's been good and the fans have enjoyed it, and so it's had positive reviews, positive reception from the fans. I just think it's not drawing enough
studio
viewers,
trying to, you know, being able to bring in the advertisement, bringing in a more well-known Disney actor that, you know, anybody who's seen the MCU have seen it, you know, try to make it a little bit more less nudity, because it was first season one was very sexual, and then they go nothing here. Were they just trying to bring in more audience to save the show? You know what I mean?
Not necessarily. I think it switched showrunners, and the new showrunner wanted to keep it more story based instead of kind of sticking with the genre roots.
See, and that's kind of, I mean, I get it, but that's where you got fault, is when you're trying to go pure storyline. You gotta, you're banking on the storyline has to hit. The script has to make sense and has to be well written. The acting has to be really well. You have to put a lot of high budget. But when you can take a lot of, you know, try to get that fan base appeal, try to get some, just some little things, some subtle humor, some nudity, you know, that really does a great job at offsetting the lack of quality, or I guess to offset the mistakes that the shows might have. So when you take that away, you got to bank more on making sure that your shit's actually quality content.
Well,
and that people are interested in that content.
I think it is quality content, but I think, like, if you were to watch season two by itself, you would think this is a pretty good series. But given that the fans of the series really liked season one and there was a good amount of nudity in it, at least just about every episode, I think you kind of, some of the fans, while they enjoyed the story, they were just hoping that it would stick more to the genre a little better, and they were disappointed that it didn't.
Yeah.
I am. I know it sounds like you are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one other fan that I talked to that's watching this show for the first time, they kind of agree with me, and they're, you know, the nudity was a real draw for to stick around with season one, and then, you know, they're kind of losing interest a bit more now that it's gone with season two.
Yeah, because it's just one of those where it's like the story was good in season one, the nudity kept you in it, the story's good in season two, but, you know, a lot of it that drew a lot of people, and you mentioned last episode Spartacus had a lot of it in the series, and then it got into a serious storytelling mode where the storytelling was great, but a lot of the fans of the show were expecting to see it, and you just got little maybe pieces of it. Now it's disappointing, but it's unfortunately the route they went.
Yeah, and I think I said it best in when we were doing the season one coverage, nudity just makes a show better. It'll take it from an 8.5 to a 9.5, you know, especially if there's a good amount of nudity, you know it's a compliment, shouldn't be the main focus, you know.
And now that I'm thinking about it, it's like one of those when we were watching, I think, Picard, I would lose interest because there would be episodes where it's just all story and there was no like fight scenes. And that's kind of how nudity can be to this series, where it, while, you know, the story is good, you want to get a break from it and see something that, you know, draws your attention in another way.
Yeah, it's that, oh shit, okay, let's pay, it's time to pay attention again. Get off the phone like, and like, okay, what's happening now? What did I miss?
But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that he went a different route this season, but I mean, it doesn't take away from the storytelling and how good the actors are and the CG and all that stuff. It's just first season had that added bonus, and now season two is just missing that added bonus. Sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what do you think about the governor? Because, you know, I hate to say this, I think I misjudged her in the first few episodes, and I think that she's a lot more brilliant and a lot more ruthless than I gave her credit for after watching these next three, and I think that the Colonel can agree with me on that.
In the first three, she doesn't seem like the antagonist. It seems like the Colonel is. But now, after watching these next three episodes, you realize, well, she's really the antagonist, and she's behind some shady shit. At first you think, okay, she's just a governor, probably has some minor corruption, but you don't think of her as, oh shit, she's, you know, kind of the antagonist. She's kind of the problem, the puppet master pulling the strings of everything going on in Heartland's world.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to skip ahead around.
We're just jumping around. We're just conversating about it, so we skip around.
Yeah, so, you know, you find out that there was a ceasefire with, what was the name of the terrorist organization?
They call them the Calcanist or Calcanist.
Calcanist. So you find out that that's all bullshit, and it turns out that the leader of it, the Calcanist?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the leader of the Calcanists is actually under the governor's control, and they start killing, you know, with the panic of the Mets. God, these are all weird names. and with the killing of the Mets, it looks like they have a meth council, to where it's like I was describing in a previous episode about how they have that aristocracy where you have the lords and the rich people who had a council to advise the governor, kind of like our. It's our form of cabinet. In England, it would be the House of Lords. In France, they had their own. I think they were not Duke.
The Runaways.
Something like that. That's funny.
I didn't see that joke coming, did you?
No, I did not. That was a good one.
Especially for me. I usually don't say shit like that.
No, you don't. But
set me up. I had to.
Yeah. she manages to seize power by calling for martial law.
Essentially, martial law. Yeah.
I don't know the name of the order that she, or the legal provision that I don't remember the name of it. But
yeah, it was like was there. Section something of the whatever charter, and it's essentially martial law where she takes control of the military and she pretty much has full power,
which actually has a lot of roots. Again, another history lesson. I'm partially a history major and I've been reading a lot on it, but that actually has roots to ancient Rome, and the idea of a dictator actually originates from Rome, because during a time of emergency the Senate would give emergency powers to the council or the consul,
to the chancellor.
Saw something similar in the 1930s Germany. They would call it a dictator, and they would basically have emergency control to do whatever was needed for an emergency for up to 6 months. So it does have roots to ancient Rome, and this
in the prequel trilogy of Star Wars.
Yep, that too. It's a well-known roots. Fact that Star Wars took
place in
a galaxy
far, far away.
Exactly, and Rome based it all off of Emperor Palpatine. The well-known fact.
Yeah. Fun fact, write that in your history paper, kids.
Mm-hmm. But I will
and
admit...
Then you take that paper and roll it to a doobie.
Yeah. Jeez. Steve's got some jokes today.
I know, they're just rolling off. Some days I feel like I just don't got them or they're not hitting, but today is not that day.
Mm. Maybe they're not hitting. We don't know. We can't tell our audience's reaction.
I don't know. They're funny to me. That's good enough.
It's close enough.
But yeah, to back on it, yeah, she's given Marshall. Well, she calls it, brings it to a vote. Everyone agrees with her that they should kind of implement some martial law because Falconer just kind of
the colonel's reaction. Oh, that was priceless.
Well, yeah, his reaction, but they're responding to her. Falconer kind of found another meth, went and attacked the casting facility. So now no one can cast off or onto the planet. So if you're on the planet, you're stuck outside of the planet. There's no way you're getting onto the planet.
Right, because they have that protective, basically an energy shield around the planet. Very Spaceballs of them.
Yeah, and it really is. And now they're reacting
to
it. And now they're reacting to it because they know that, well, the governor's spinning it as in Falconer's killing Mets, and now she's seizing power by calling martial law. They vote on it, and like you're trying to keep trying to bring up, but you know, the colonel was adamant. He's like, no, you can't do this. Don't give her this power. And then they vote on it, and then everyone's surprised when she puts everyone under arrest. She's like, you can't do this. And the colonel's like, are you fucking serious? I warned you.
You literally said the power. Yeah, you cannot. There's no oversight if you do this. Like you, there would be no. There is no oversight. She has complete authority, and then the first thing she does, arrests him. And I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots. I mean, that's just. But that's what people do when they're afraid. They're scared for their lives. Yeah. They'll do stupid shit. Even our especially our politicians.
Oh yeah, I was gonna go there. It just makes me think of our government. It's like. You're like, oh, let's vote on this. And then everyone's shocked when it passes and they realize what they put into law. No, yeah. You can't do this. It's illegal. Well, you voted it into law. Now it's the Supreme Court's problem if it's legal or not.
Oh, yeah. But, and that's one of the great things about our Constitution, because a lot of people don't know this. And maybe they do. Well, maybe they do because I've said it a lot. I go on a lot of tangents here. But in the French Revolution – The French government that killed 40,000 of their own people in the guillotines, Committee of Public Safety. It was an elected legislative committee. So, I mean, it can happen to anybody. Anybody can go tyrannical. It's just you need the opportunity to get power. That's all you need.
Yeah, but back to what you're talking about. This Governor Harland, Danica, I only know that because of – I don't know why I keep seeing, like, Danica Patrick stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
So – but yeah, like you were saying, she's kind of revealing herself to be the antagonist because she's just into some shady shit. She has some cartel, I think is what, or something that's kind of running the planet. She's running a fake war with these Calquinists with their, you know, with the leader on her payroll.
Damn, she really is Palpatine.
Yeah,
she's orchestrating everything on both sides and she's seizing power. I mean, holy shit.
Yes, yes, it really is. It's you're seeing it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if she does end up being the main antagonist for the storyline, they're doing a pretty good job of it. You know, because you're thinking the colonel's the dickhead who, you know, who brought him Kovach as a kid, who fucked up his life, who fucked up his sister's life. Sister's dead because of the decision Kovach made because of him. Hates his guts, obviously, and you think that that's going to be the main, conflict, and then you get, lo and behold, this governor coming out of nowhere, secretly being Emperor Palpatine, and just starts, you know, executing Order 66 on all these people, all these Mets.
Yeah, pretty much. And another thing, kind of pulling away from the governor a little bit, we, in episode... five. Yeah, I think it's five, or it's at the end of four. I'm blanking. At some point,
I think the colonel
spins. Well, you find out that the Protectorate copied his Kovacs's memory, put it on storage. They cloned another one of his original birth sleeves. And then that's kind of, we alluded to it a little bit in part, the previous part of this series we're doing. But, you know, that's kind of his ace in the hole is he's spinning back up Takeshi Kovacs bailing on his team and joining the envoys to begin with.
Right. This was before he left to join the terrorist organization, before he found his sister and betrayed him. Which I will admit, you know, it makes sense why he's so afraid of him and why he was, no, let's just kill him now and be done with it, because he knows what he's capable of. I mean, hell, he sends himself to kill him.
Yeah, and you know,
yeah.
As you kind of get the idea, you know that, I guess Takeshi won, or Kovacs, I don't know, Mackie's Kovacs, he's...
The pre, or the...
The OG
Kovacs. Kovacs won yeah. Is OG the original, who's been alive the entire time. Kovacs 2 is the one that's been clone. On ice. Yeah, the clone.
Yeah, so Kovacs 1, I mean, you expect him to have the upper hand when it comes to fighting skills and all this nonsense, his sleeves decked out, but then again, SeaTac and the Protectorate deck out Kovacs 2 sleeve also. So yeah, when they fight later in this episode, whether it's 4 or 5, I don't remember.
5, because I remember he throws him off the cliff. Kovacs 2 throws up Kovacs 1 off of a cliff. And that's how they end. They literally end on a cliffhanger. Good for them.
Yeah. But, oh, you brought this up last time, and you're like, is there a name for it when someone cast in or someone is on ice and they get spun back up? And they call it decanting, like you do with a wine.
Oh, interesting.
So I did notice that in episodes 5 and 6 that they keep referring to them as being spun back up as decanted.
Huh. Interesting.
So there you go. I know you brought it up last episode. And it only took us, you know, if we would have watched. I don't remember them bringing it up in the previous 3 episodes, but we did catch it now. So,
yeah, there you good. Go. Now, if anybody else was curious about it, now you know.
Which kind of makes sense, because, I don't know, I feel like it's a fitting word for it. I'm not going to explain my justifications for it, but it seems like it fits.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
But, oh, and then... Okay, so speaking of cruelty of the governor, because I know we were talking about that, what did you think of it when Colonel Correa / Jaeger was interrogating these prisoners, and then governor has her forces go and round them up, and then strap them to their version of fireworks?
Yeah, oh, that was creative.
That was kind of the turning point.
Yeah, that's when you start to realize, okay, maybe
this bitch
to
is
start
dark.
This bitch seriously. Yeah, because I mean, they strapped him to rockets and just shot it straight up into that energy shield. And because I think, was it the energy? They crashed into the energy shield and they just blew up like fireworks?
No, kind of. The defense system initiated and kind of saw a threat, so it eliminated the threat. It pretty much shot a laser to the rockets and blew them up, and then the fireworks blew up.
Oh, I mean,
but yeah, that was fucked up when Colonel found out that they were attaching the prisoners to these rockets.
Oh, and he was pissed too, because he was interrogating one of them, or he was in the middle of interrogating one of them, the chick who shut down
who
all the power and
let him,
yeah, who let them all escape.
Yeah.
So he was pissed, and I don't blame him, but that was pretty awesome. No. Could you imagine that as a way to go? Just getting strapped to a rocket and be like, bye, bitch.
That would be fucked up.
Literally almost duct taped to a rocket.
They were tied like it was some freaking Roadrunner and Coyote cartoon.
Yeah, I was thinking Phineas and Ferb.
Ooh, I haven't seen all of those.
Oh, really?
Only seen a handful of episodes.
Oh, with Perry the Platypus fighting Dr. Doofenshmirtz?
I don't know.
Feels like something he would try to do.
But, yeah, I mean, even in that scene, because this is when she's having a party for Harlan's Day, and you just kind of, you start picking up on little lines where she's trying to hide stuff. You don't, you know, she doesn't want the colonel finding out what's going on, and you kind of see how this corruption is.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, is it's messed up. That's kind of where it all starts unraveling.
Yeah, and I'm curious, you know, if the people would be okay with it.
Oh, no, you know, that's why they were facing away from them. People had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things to where if the people found out what this governor was doing, do you think that they would support her? Do you think they would approve of it? Just the casual, what's the right word? I don't think the decorum is the right word, but the casualness of, damn, I don't think I could think of the right words. Just the ease of which that she executes these prisoners. You know,
the lack of consciousness, the lack of regard for human life.
Human life, yeah.
No, I mean, and you might see that. I'm fuzzy on the last two episodes, but I'm pretty sure you kind of get to see what happens when the people find out that they're being played. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out for the last two episodes. I'm curious. You know, six was another one that got left on a cliffhanger, and I am actually pretty excited because, like I said, this is a pretty good storyline. I just
You want to see boobs every now and then?
Yeah, boobs are good.
I won't say who, but I know you see someone naked. So,
that's a nice change. The last two episodes. You know, I mean, I thought it was gonna be with Falconer. When they had that sex scene in episode 4. But it's like, really? I hate it when you do that. You know, you had all that nudity and then you tease by having a censored sex scene. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's like they aired it on real TV.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but, you know, you brought up the cliffhanger at the end of episode 5 where Takeshi 1 gets thrown off the cliff by Takeshi 2. Which, by the way, surprised me. I'm pretty sure Takeshi 1 should have won that fight.
I think he should, but I think Takeshi 2 was fresher.
Could have been.
That he wasn't as worn out, that he was, you know, just more prepared, more ready, and wasn't as beaten up, you know, physically from, you know, constantly fighting.
Yeah. It was a cool fight scene, though, in the middle of the night, in the woods. I know they're two different actors, but it kind of felt like it was like the same person fighting each other, like that scene in Endgame with Captain America.
Yeah, right.
It kind of felt like that, but with two different people.
Yeah, and they did a really good job at being able to mimic each other's moves.
And fighting styles.
Yeah, to be able to give that, okay, we're the same person, just in different bodies, kind of, that we make the same moves, that we know exactly. Which, again, confuses me on why, Kovach 1 lost. You know, yeah, different bodies, but you should have the experience, and then I think that the sleeve that he's in should be strong enough to be able to, because he was a, because didn't he say that he was, the sleeve was the same sleeve that they use for the Colonel's men? I don't remember. The SeaTac?
Yeah, it was one of the SeaTac sleeves, so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you would think it'd be strong enough to be able to handle him. I mean, what... you know, what's up with Tack?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure of what happened, because I think sleeve wise they're on the same playing ground, because you see when Takeshi 2 or Kovacs 2 gets decanted, he has the same perks. He has, you know, the force with his weapons, and he has all this cool shit that Takeshi 1 has sleeve wise. But you got to think, Takeshi has more training with his envoy training. Total control of mind and body, as he mentions, I think, in episode 6. So you think he should have had the edge, but he still gets bested and thrown off the cliff like someone who's been thrown off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, can't win them all.
I mean, even then, you get some more in at the start of episode 6 with some features of the sleeve, because you find out he's hanging on while passed out, when Trep finds him, pulls him up, and then, you know, you find out more features on this sleeve. He has,
yeah, I mean, it was remarkable like that little grip that he had on that rock, even subconsciously, was able to hold himself up for that long, because he was passed out, and it was the middle of the night, and when she found him, it was almost like noon.
Probably 8 or 12 hours.
Yeah, so he was holding on that tiny little grip for 8 to 12 hours, you know, by the second knuckle of his fingers. Fuck, I don't even think if I had full grip, arm completely wrapped around something, I could hang on for that long.
Well, no, that's one of the features of the sleeve. It has a subconscious survival reflex. So I guess it's able to,
But you would think the muscles would eventually, despite the survival instinct, would give out. Because, I mean, it is a human body.
It's a human body, but it makes you beg to question how much of it is human and how much of it seems kind of cyborgish, given all the features and shit that it has in it.
Well, I mean, I just kind of imagined that, the human body is a lot stronger than we give it credit for. It's just the human brain is what limits what we're capable of. That's why we're able to lift cars when our adrenaline's pumping, if we're able to do incredible things. So I think the body is stronger than what we're capable of, but I don't know how they would able to reprogram these features to add strength without these cybernetic implants, like you said,
And it's probably not really strength. It's probably just, okay, grip the rock, and then, you don't unclench the grip until ever. I mean, how long could it have gone? Who knows? But it has it of maybe the muscle. And you see it when he gets pulled up by Trep. He has, one, that shoulder's dislocated, and two, he has no movement or mobility in that arm. While he's getting pulled up the cliff, he has to go rely on his right arm.
Right.
So you could tell his muscle's hurting. He's obviously shoulder's dislocated, so.
Yeah, well, she had to pop it back in for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then he has this cool thing, an emergency medical scan, where I guess he tells his Omni or whatever it is in his eye. He's like, emergency medical scan. He has two broken ribs, a concussion, a dislocated shoulder, and whatever else he had.
Well, the new Captain America apparently is stealing Tony Stark's tech.
Yeah, that's what it was. But that was cool.
But why wouldn't he have done that before?
Who's scanning him?
Yeah, and why wouldn't he have done that before? He's been hurt a lot of times.
Yeah, you got a good point. Why are we just seeing it now? But I guess he was unconscious. He knows he's hurting. He was holding his ribs. Shoulders obviously dislocated. I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't run it more.
I don't know. But I mean, let's kind of move on to the main storyline. We've kind of been avoiding the Falconer and Kovac storyline through 5 and 6, or I guess mostly just 6, because Kovac 1 or 2. No, hang on. Falconer escapes, knocks out Trep in episode 5, and then I guess she gets back to the lake and starts remembering her memories. Did I miss that part?
No, that sounds about right. Well, I think when they went to the stronghold, it triggered some memories, and then going back to the lake where I think they did it, she had more memories. So I think it's kind of what do they call it? Remembrance by association or something like that.
Something like that.
So that's probably what was happening when Kovacs 2 stumbles on her, and then she kind of remembers more because she's seeing the face that she trained and that she, fell in love with and did beside the lake.
Yeah, and... but I mean, she's also aware of the events that have been going on. You would think that, if I were her, I'd find it real odd to be able to see the original sleeve tack just walk up out of nowhere and be like, oh yeah, the other guy was, he was just BS, and I'm the real one.
It was an imposter.
I mean, it's like she did invent the stacks, so she knows that pretty much anybody could be wearing that sleeve.
Yeah. Oh, invented the stack based off of Elder Otter artifacts, and you find out that they mined alloys from Harlan's world that is needed to create the stacks.
Okay, so Harlan's world's responsible for basically everything when it comes to the stacks.
She was born there. She was able to use elder artifacts to kind of develop the technology and then use the alloys on that planet to create the stack. So it sounds like without that planet, they wouldn't have their life, their longevity in their life, lifespan.
Yeah, well.
So just had to throw that in there since you brought it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's, I think it's interesting how she plays him so well, and he's all but convinced that he's playing her, and when in reality she was playing him, and then they get captured by what was the name of the terrorist cell again? That did we figure out the
Calcanist?
Calcanist.
I can't think of the leader's name.
I can't either. But when they get captured, both the Kovaches are put together, or they're strapped into, I guess, a fence together next to each other.
Yeah, yeah, they're like zip tied to a fence or something like that.
Yeah, and he's like, "What? Let me guess. You thought you were playing her, but she was playing you all along." He's like, "Yeah." Well, yeah, it's good to know that we're
taking to school.
It's good to know that we're consistent.
Yep. Yep. We're fools.
Yeah. And then I think it's interesting that Falconer kind of plays along, and instead of she brings up the weapon, which is something that they've kind of been talking about, or at least the Colonel has been talking about a lot, searching for this weapon that Falconer has. And that's what gets his attention, and that's what they go along. But instead of showing the weapon, they show a hologram, essentially, of Rey and what she did to her.
Yeah, they went full Star Wars recording when Anakin killed all those younglings.
Yeah, that was my initial thought, too, but I didn't want to – I wanted to set it up for you. I know you're a Star Wars guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a – oh, I had a burp. It was a holo recording of every time Rey visited Falconer's bed,
chamber, wherever
she was kind of keeping her.
Yeah, and
prison,
this was over,
so to speak.
This was over a span of hundreds of years. Like, the one time they brought up that it was 100 years given the last time that she had spoken to her. So,
yeah, between visits. So that's. And I'm thinking that all those recordings take place pretty much from the time the explosion happens, or at least not long after, to the time probably, because she mentions finding her brother, that he's on ice, and she finally found a way to have him spun back up. So right before the events in season one.
Yeah, I mean, because I think she mentioned that, if memory serves me right, that she was not the original intention that she wanted her brother, that she wanted her brother to be the one that was backed up and cloned, and she was really pissed off. So we figured out where Falcon came back from and why Rey even kept her alive to begin with. It wasn't intentional. It was kind of accident. And they kind of just, she just kind of kept her on ice for a while. I mean, she didn't really explain why, what the kind of to torture her. Because her mind was still active, apparently, while she was asleep.
Yeah, it was like her body hibernated, but her mind was still alert.
Right. So she was aware of the passage of time and the...
Talk about torture.
That would be. Yeah, that would be one hell of a torture. Imagine sleeping for the rest of your life, or for hundreds of years, and being aware of it.
Yeah. Not even that. Yeah. I was thinking more of like in a padded room where you can't do anything, but your mind is still awake. That would suck. Eventually, you'd go insane, I would think.
What would you think about?
I don't know. What could you think about?
You could think about whatever the hell you want. I guess your mind's still active.
I guess eventually I would try to see how high I would count to. And then count all the prime numbers once I got bored with that. What else can you do?
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, you just think about.
I don't know.
Die.
I don't either.
I guess that's why you go insane then.
Usually. So, yeah. But let's talk about this weapon, because it seems like the Protectorate, the Colonel, the Governor, it seems like they think she has some sort of weapon, because she is able to corrupt the stacks of Mets and prevent them from being spun back up. She RDs them by, essentially uploading a virus and killing them. So they think she has some sort of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
When we're kind of seeing in these episodes that she is some sort of weapon, you remember, I think it's the second season of The Punisher, and it was the girl who's in Star Trek Into Darkness. she kind of has multiple personality disorder. Well, one personality will take over and then another personality will kind of take over, but that other personality doesn't really remember what happened with the other personality.
I don't know. You said personality a lot there, so.
I know, and I thought that as soon as I finished. I go, that's going to be his response.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's season two of The Punisher. This girl has split personality. So personality one is like really sweet and nice. You wouldn't really expect anything of her. But personality two is like this assassin type person who, once that personality is triggered, she'll go kind of not on a killing spree, but she has like a mission, kind of like with Winter Soldier when he's activated by Hydra. Kind of.
No, I don't actually remember. I haven't seen Punisher in a while. Maybe I need to rewatch the Defender series because it's been a while.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, that's kind of how I see Falconer is going through, because it just seems like, you know, she's not herself, or she is herself with some memory loss in amnesia, and then
I figure Winter Soldier would be the more apt description.
Probably. But she goes like on this rampage and then goes and kills these mess, but she has no idea why. And then her other personality comes back and she's like, and she wakes up with blood and she's like, I'm tired of waking up with blood on me and I have no idea why.
Yeah. Well, so that's, I mean, kind of, I think we start to figure,
it's like,
well, I think we start to get a glimpse of what they fear the weapon is, because at the end of episode 6, they figure out that the leader of the supposed terror cell was all BS and he was working for the governor and they killed them all. And Kovach, both Kovaches, I think, are siding with her and they're kind of anti once Takoshi 1 tells Takoshi 2 what happened with the sister. I think he kind of understands. And
Takeshi.
What'd I say?
Takoshi.
Oh, I think I was thinking of George Takei, and some people say Takei, some people say Takei, and I guess it's Takeshi, Takachi, Takochi, whatever the hell you want to call it. Kuchiwa.
Okay, Pope.
Okay. Fuck, what the hell was I even thinking about? Yeah, so.
Something about the last scene of episode 6.
Yeah, so the Kovaches are with them. They're trying to escape when they run into protectorate guard sent by the governor, and I guess the governor arrests the colonel once the colonel realizes that she's been masterminding this whole thing.
For quote-unquote double sleeving.
Right. Which I guess she does technically have grounds to arrest him. Yep.
Yeah.
But you see Falconer start to lose control again, and you see basically the energy shields almost sending like laser blasts.
Hellfire.
Or, you know, Thor beaming down on the planet, you know, Rosebridging all of these people, and it's incinerating all of the Protectorate guards and killing everybody. I mean, do you think that's the weapon that they've been afraid of? That she has control over that energy shield and can do that?
Well, here's what I'll turn around and ask you. What do you think the weapon is? What do you think is going on with her? Because I kind of know, given what the two episodes are. So I want to get your opinion, because my opinion will give away the answer.
Well, I mean, I think it is, but I think that she's the weapon. And I think she is one of, what were they called? The Eternals?
Elders.
I think she's one of these elders, and she just doesn't remember that she has control over this energy system, and that's why they're afraid of the weapon, because she can control this and she can kill just about anybody there. And I just don't think that she realizes how powerful she is. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I won't say if you're wrong or right, but you'll find out.
I was trying to think of a
good
movie reference, but I couldn't think of one off the top of my.
she's like Rey in The Force Awakens, who now has discovered her power.
Yeah. I mean,
I usually won't reference the sequel trilogy, given I don't like it so much, but it's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. I don't know. I don't think it was an apt description, but maybe.
Like I said, it's not the best, but the first one that came to my head.
I don't know. Nothing's popping into my head, so oh well. Oh. But I think that she's the weapon, and that she's more powerful than we think she is, and that she controls that defensive system, and that's why they're so afraid of her.
Okay.
So,
what about, okay, we didn't cover this, but there was story arcs over Conrad Harlan, who is played by, it's played by the guy who plays Damian Dark in the Arrow series.
Oh, I like that guy. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. Neil Mc... Oh, don't know.
He's been a lot. Oh, he's been in a lot of movies.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was Band of Brothers,
Captain America.
You know, he was Damian Dark in the Arrowverse, and he's in this show as Conrad.
He's in Star Trek, First Contact.
Yeah, he's in that. So he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
familiar face.
Right.
But the question, or what I was going to bring up is there's. You know, Poe goes on a mission to find him kind of in this VR. So we find out that the story being told to people is he has joined this cult-like group who kind of resides in this virtual reality that's led by this virtual being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story being told, but, you know, come to find out that he's not really there. He's really in hiding or something, because when Poe finds Conrad in this construct, this virtual reality construct, it's a dummy, or it's a clay cutout of him that he knocks over and destroys, and that the Harlans were paying this person to say and sell the story of, yeah, he kind of joined our cult so they can keep their servers running and keep more people coming.
Right.
So,
which is interesting, because they wanted to keep him there because they didn't want him to, you know, spill the beans, but you know, he's kind of breaking down. So he's like, yeah, you could keep me here, but I'm also dying, so I can destroy this entire construct. And he pretty much
mean he is in Poe, yeah.
Yeah, Poe. Yes, the guy who forgets everything, which I'm named after.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing with this Conrad guy, because we know Falconer, she's not only, because she was going around and everyone thought, oh, she's just killing mess. And then we find out, oh, she's actually going around and killing the founders of the planet. And lo and behold, there's only one of them left, and that's Conrad. So that's kind of why I brought him up, and he's going to play a more pivotal part. And you're going to see more of him in these next couple episodes because of her mission to now kill all the founders, and I think he's the last one left.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to these last two episodes. Like I said, I think that the season two has been really good. I really like the storyline, and I'm really interested to see how it goes. I'm curious to see who ends up being the main antagonist, because I don't know for sure. I'm curious to see if the Colonel and the Kovaches, all team up to stop the Governor. If she turns out to be the bad guy. When I say the Governor, I hate to say it, I was thinking of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Man, I haven't seen that in so long.
I know, right?
I stopped after a while.
Yeah, I did too. I stopped after... Whenever Glenn died. Well, I stopped after...
The real time he died.
Yeah, I stopped after season four, and then I heard that Glenn died, and then I wanted to see what happened and how they did it. And then I couldn't get into it. I didn't like Negan, and I didn't like the direction they went, so I stopped watching again.
No, which sucks, because I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan as an actor, but, you know, This isn't a podcast about that, so...
Yeah,
we won't get into it,
but
so overall, okay. So how, I know you're saying you're liking. How did you think of these three episodes? I know you're disappointed with the nudity, but just touch on again, you know, what your thoughts are on this season so far. Or actually, scratch that. We'll say, let's reassess what you think of Anthony Mackie Kovacs versus Joe Kinnaman's Kovacs in season one. Let's talk about that.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at, you know, and it was one of the things I looked at in season one was, okay, you got to base it off of the original sleeve, the actor who plays the original sleeve, because that's supposed to be the original guy. So, okay, how did the actor in season one, I don't remember his name, you know, how did he do when you're comparing it to him in the scenes that you get to see with him? And it's kind of the same logic for season two, especially since you get the OG Kovac, who was pre-Yakuza, pre-finding out everything and was still a member of the Protectorate. You know, how does he compare when you have the two side-by-side personality-wise? Does it match up? And I think they did a really good job at matching personalities. So when it comes to acting, I think they did a really good job coordinating how they were going to do the personality types for this. And I think that he's doing a pretty good job. So kudos to him.
Can't wait to see him in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, right. They pushed it back to 2021, didn't they?
No idea. I know it's not coming out. Well, it didn't come out in August like it was supposed to, so yeah, it's pushed back till sometime.
Yeah, I think what they did was they pretty much cut everything off from 2020. They're not doing anything in 2020, but they're doing like 7 releases in 2021, so.
We shall see. Mm-hmm. But to answer my question that I asked you, I mean, I think, because sometimes I ask you a question, I don't really give my own thoughts on it, so I'm doing that.
Yeah, what do
time.
You think?
So far, it's hard to tell. I can't really, it's like neck and neck. Like there was a 1-point difference in the polls with a 3% discrepancy or whatever it's called, swing or,
margin of error.
Yes. Thank you. In stats. So there's a 3% margin of error, and I don't really have a favorite. I mean, I like Kenneman and I like Mackey and, I can't pick. Because I did that. I tried to see, okay, if Kinnaman was here, how would this play? And I think about scenes in season one. I was like, if Mackie was here, how would this play? And I just, right now, they're two great picks to play these characters in these two seasons. And I don't think I could pick a favorite right now. Maybe at the end of next Deep Space High, I can.
Yeah, maybe. And I think that it's going to take till next one to make the pick. I'm curious if they would have kept... if they would have kept the same actor going into season 3, or if they would have, you know, done the same thing and recasted him.
No, I think from what I was reading on forums and stuff, yeah, I know, hashtag nerd. The fans at least wanted to see the original sleeve. So when we're seeing, I think it's Will Lee. They wanted to see him in season 3 and have him as the main actor in the main sleeve.
Hmm.
Even though I did forget how much he was in this last half of the season. I didn't realize he was in this season as much as he was. So, yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Let's see. Let me check my notes. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Got everything.
Should we punch it?
Punch it. We can beat him.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it. Punch it. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
All right, well, I guess what do we got in store for our next week's episode, brother?
All right, well, next time on Deep Space High, we are going to wrap up on Altered Carbon. Yes, I know, it has gone by very quick. 7 parts, 2 seasons, 16 episodes, or 18 episodes. But we'll be finishing up the last 2 episodes of season 2 of Altered Carbon. That's
yes,
next time on Deep Space High, and we'll find out who the antagonist is. Maybe we'll get answers on... who we liked in the lead Takeshi Kovacs role.
Yeah, because, I mean, we did have several different actors who played Takeshi Kovacs. So, yeah.
At least 4 so far in the series, at least. Mm-hmm. Not counting the kid version.
Yep. And then I think that's pretty much it for Altered Carbon, because there's not going to be in a season 3, so that pretty much would wrap it up. And then we're going to be hitting The Mandalorian when it comes out, but... we have a couple of weeks, I think 2 weeks before Mandalorian releases. So did we make the decision we're going to take week off after Altered Carbon, and then we're going to do...
Yeah, I don't know if it's decided, but I know either we'll do a part 1 and 2 of... Damn, Lower Decks. Sorry, Star Trek Lower Decks.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of just have some conversations about it, or we'll take a week off. And then we'll talk about Lower Decks, and then we're going to jump into Mandalorian.
Yes. We don't know for sure yet, but I think we'll have it figured out by next week's episode. So
we better.
make sure to tune in to next week's episode to find out. But I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. So thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. And be sure to join us next week as we finish our conversation on Altered Carbon.
Yeah, and don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High, hashtag Tacos and Trek. Also, check out our Facebook Deep Space High sci-fi TV reviews. and our Instagram, Deep Space High Podcast. That's where you'll find the latest updates whenever an episode comes out, or whenever we decide what the hell we're going to do, if we're going to take a break, do two parts, whatever. You will most likely, probably, maybe if I remember, get the news there.
All right. Well, and also, be sure to let us know how we're doing by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. These reviews are a lot of help for us. The feedback's very helpful to help us give you guys a better experience. Yeah, so go do that. I'm Sky Marshall Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve, and sleeve you next time.
That was bad. That was bad.